this admonishment that we were looking at the Exodus last week, just few minutes left, then we dedicate the babies, anoint everybody, and then we go home. Please bear with us. Amen. Necessity is laid upon us. There is a warning in Ezekiel chapter 33 from verse 1.
Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, When I bring the sword upon the land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast, and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet, and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head.
Okay.
He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning.
He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning.
His blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul.
But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. Verse 6.
But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So thou, O son of man,
O Moses, Alu,
I have set thee a watchman unto the house of
Israel, unto the bride assembly church.
Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth, and warn them from me.
And that is exactly what I am doing now. Because we're talking about the pool, and what is this Exodus all about? Is that destruction is going to come upon this earth. There is going to be destruction upon this earth. We, the watchmen, the fivefold ministry, it's our duty to tell you there is destruction coming upon this earth because of the iniquity of man. But the mercy of the Lord has been projected.
Hallelujah.
That whosoever will take heed to the warning that he is given, he will take him away from this earth. That is what we call the rapture. If you will yield yourself, be obedient to this teaching, these warnings from the Lord, and do what the Lord expects you to do, bride of Jesus Christ, this danger that is coming will not come upon us. The earth will suffer judgment only after we have been taken away.
Amen.
When we are lifted up away, that is the Exodus. Exodus is exit, deliverance. Coming out, departure. And it's always linked to bondage as far as salvation is concerned. Amen. People don't know. In our Rapture World series yesterday, I brought it out. The mystery of salvation is very interesting. This is the whole summary. Man fell in the Garden of Eden, and we are sold out to Satan into the bondage. Listen very well. These things I am saying, they are not in any bookshop. Anything concerning salvation, true salvation, is not in any bookshop. I'm saying it with all humility. You will not find this in any bookshop. It is not for everybody.
Amen.
Salvation is not for everybody.
Amen.
Listen, if you ever study at all, you will notice that anything that has to do with redemption, with salvation, is written in parables. And the disciple asked Jesus in Matthew 13 verse 10, why do you speak in parables? And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them out there in parable? Because when he comes in, he will be explaining the meaning of that parable to his disciples. Hear his answer. He answered and said what?
He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you.
It is given by who? By God. That is why when we say salvation is not for all, people are looking at us, for God so loved the world that whosoever believeth. Whosoever believeth, but he knows those that we believe. And he knows those who will not believe. Imagine this, read it please.
Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven.
It is given to you, these my disciples, including you, Judas, to know the mystery of what?
Of the kingdom of heaven.
Uh-huh.
But to them, it is not given.
But to them out there, it is not given, yes?
For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath.
God.
Therefore speak I to them in parables,
uh-huh.
Because they see not.
Because they see not.
And hearing, hear not.
They hear not.
Neither do they understand.
Uh-huh.
And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand. And seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive.
See, and listen. It was their attitude that placed them in this position, that they will not see, that they will not hear, that they will not understand. Listen, church. When we say these things, everything about salvation is coded. Unless, have you considered this scripture? In Luke chapter 10, verse 22. Luke chapter 10, verse 22.
All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him.
Go to Luke, John chapter 6, verse 37.
All that the Father giveth me shall come to me.
Listen, I'm just giving you scripture that you will meditate upon. Jesus said, nobody knows who the Father is. It's only the Son. Nobody knows who the Son is. Only the Father. And before you will know who the Son is, the Father will have to reveal it to you who Jesus is. But everybody now says, Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the Son of God. He said, it is upon the rock of the revelation of who Jesus Christ is that the church is built. At the gates of hell shall not prevail. It's simple. You say Jesus is the Son of God. Do you know the meaning of that? Every little thing that comes upon you, you will complain. Imagine I've been serving God faithfully. Imagine, see my estate up to now. I have nothing to show. It is evidence you don't know who Jesus is. You say you are a minister. You are a minister of God. And all you know is how to make money. There are inter-message church pastors that have a curse that is upon all such pastors. It's a curse that is upon them. All tithes of that church go to their personal account. Oh, Jesus. All tithes. Do you think they are there for salvation? They even phone their church members. About month don't end and I don't forget me. My tithe. Do they know salvation? A pastor, a minister that comes and say, come anyhow, it doesn't matter, it doesn't matter. God is a good God. We're under grace, we're not under law. Does he know salvation? Does he know salvation? You, brother, sister, when they fall under anointing every time, fall under anointing every time. Yet, you set hurdles, you set trap for one another. You kill one another with gossip. Do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? You don't know Jesus now. You cannot love Jesus. The attitude that you put towards the things of God is determined by the revelation of who Jesus is. What you do with that name, Jesus, The way you will reference that name is determined by the revelation that you have about that Jesus. When people come to church, they come in an attitude as if they are doing the pastor of Brother Assembly Church. They are doing you something, you know, by coming to your church. Pastor, people say, I will start the worship for this your church now. And anytime you talk like that, I see somebody that is looking for a social club to join. You are coming to church, you are not coming to Christ. That is why it is difficult for you to use your finances for the progress of the gospel. That is why it is difficult for you to sacrifice your time, some of your time, for the things of God, while others kill themselves over it. It is a function of revelation of who Jesus Christ is. You are afraid of witches and wizards. It is a function of the revelation of who Jesus Christ is. And when you come to church and you are sleeping, you come to church and you are sleeping, brother. But you were not sleeping when we were praising God. When Prophet Timothy, these prophets were prophesying, you were shouting, "Ride on, brother, ride on." And now it is time to study the Bible. Sleep come upon you. It is a function of a revelation of the importance of the Word of God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If I will have to relate with you only because I am a fellow Igbo man, you will not relate with him because he's a Hausa man. It is a function of your understanding of the body of Christ. You see, upon this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. But it is not given to everybody. Consider John chapter 6 again and verse 44.
No man can come to me.
No man can come to Jesus. But in Matthew 11:28, what did he say?
Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden.
Come all ye. And it looks as if it is for everybody. It is for only those who foreknown of God. That is the mystery. People don't want to understand that. This revelation helps you to understand why some people cannot catch some revelation that you have caught. It humbles you, doesn't make you proud, because unto you it is given. 6:44, John.
No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and
you
I will raise him up
never,
at the last day.
You can never, and read it, assurance of the rapture.
And I will raise him up at the last day.
Only those that the Father brought to Jesus that will raise in the resurrection day. Amen. Can't you see there's a mystery of salvation there? People are playing church. Church has become politics. Human beings have hijacked the church of Jesus Christ and become lords over God's heritage. And therefore Christianity has been turned upside down. Now you are more proud to identify with your church than to be identified with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a function of your revelation. And that is why it's good for us to explain how this rapture will take place. Listen, I was trying to say something. When man fell, did it take God by surprise? When he was creating Adam, did he know he will fall? Answer me now. Answer me now. Then why didn't he stop it? That is the interesting part. Did he know that serpent will tempt Eve and this problem we are facing now will come up? Did he know? When he was creating that animal, did he know? And yet he did not only create him, he brought him near that family. But that is another mystery entirely. So that you will know that salvation is of the Lord. You understand the meaning of that now? That is why thanksgiving is important. Appreciate God for the salvation of your soul. This reason why we will thank God and serve him is because he saved us.
Amen.
Not because you have bought a new car, you have four children, have five children. After all, children are assets. That is why it's difficult for people to worship God, to serve him. You are dragged. There is, see, if you are not able to speak to sinners, unbelievers, including Christians who don't have the revelation that you have, you are not able to do it, something is wrong with your experience. How can a woman that is not proud to introduce her husband, to bear the name of her husband, something is wrong in that relationship. That's why Brother Maduka said he has a permanent badge, Jesus. He said anywhere he goes, he wants you to immediately know where he belongs before you start talking. That's why he gave that example. He said in a board meeting of billionaires that own some banks that he too used to be part of it. He said one of them does not believe that it's God. And now they say, before we have the meeting, can we have a word of prayer? And he said that one. Say, I beg, stop that. And then he was trying to disturb. They ignored him, they want to pray, he was disturbing. He said he stood up and screamed at him, "You sit down and stop disturbing the children of God." He said he stood up. They have to tell him, "Please sit down." He said, no, he wants to tell him that we are not joking when it comes to worshiping our God. We are who we are is by his grace. For he is the one that giveth us power to make wealth. But what of you? If you are ashamed to confess it before men, he said he will also be ashamed to confess you before the Father. When you are proud of him, he will also be proud of you. Immediately man fell. God ignited the process for that salvation. In chapter 3, Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. I've spoken on this before, in case that today your ear was open. Listen. What did he say?
To the serpent.
What did he say?
And I'll put enmity between thee and
the woman.
Between
you, serpent, and that woman, and the woman.
And
now,
between...
listen. The way he's speaking here, you would think that woman is Eve. Revelation. You think that he's talking about Eve. Go ahead.
And between thy seed and
between
her seed.
Between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. And you will think that it is Abel. Because Abel and Cain, they were fighting. But that prophecy was to fulfill thousands of years after. Go ahead.
It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel.
Uh-huh. And that is what is going on now. Listen, I have told you, this woman, amen, hallelujah, was going to be a nation. This woman was going to be a nation, and that is going to be the beginning of the preparation of that woman that he spoke about, that will have a seed, that seed will come and have problem with the seed also of the serpent. The serpent will have a seed. It's futuristic. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. When that prophecy, beginning of that prophecy being fulfilled, was God now. There will be a seed of the woman. The woman has to be. The woman is not Mary. Oh. The woman, Catholic brothers, is not Mary. Hey. Oh, glory be to God. That woman is not Eve. That woman, amen. God was going to form that woman. The woman will be a nation. And he will begin it to be a type. Because the seed of the woman has to be produced first. It is through that woman, that seed of the woman, that he will use and bring back restoration.
Hallelujah.
What the serpent caused in the Garden of Eden, he's going to use the seed of the woman to repair.
Amen.
And this is agenda. It's going to take some time. So, how will he get the woman? How will he prepare the woman? He got a man by the name of Abraham. It's grace. Abraham, hallelujah.
Amen.
In Genesis chapter 15, he went to Abraham. We all know these things. He went to, I'm just giving you a picture. He called Abraham and blessed him and said he will give him a seed. And in his seed shall all the family of the earth be blessed. But he told him that your seed shall go into bondage in a strange land. And they will be in that bondage for 400 years. By the time he was saying this, Isaac never come. Hey, to walk with God, no easy. When God decide to use you, person will never get picky. He was giving him more than 600 years of prophecy that will come to pass. And he will think that he will see it. Abraham didn't live to see the fulfillment. He only said, thy seed. He didn't say you, thy seed. Amen. And it is that he was igniting. And before you know what, he got Abraham. Abraham gave birth to Isaac. Isaac gave birth to Jacob. There is a particular line. It's not everywhere he was following. There's a particular line he was following. Oh, glory be to God. He was not going to go through Eliezer. He was not going to go through Ishmael. Because the child of promise will be the womb, the child that will come from the womb of thy wife, Sarah. Hallelujah. And he's not going to use a profane person. Hallelujah. You are looking at Jacob as a supplanter, as a cheat, 419. But God knows that this person has respect to birthright. And he decided to choose Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons. Those 12 sons were going to form the 12 tribes of that woman, that nation. That nation is the nation we see in Revelation chapter 12. Read it. It is a wonder from verse 1.
And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with a son.
A woman, can you see, it's described as a woman clothed with a son.
And the moon under her feet.
Uh-huh.
And upon her head a crown of 12 stars.
Uh-huh.
And she, being with child, cried.
She be with a child.
Cried.
The child there, she was pained to be delivered. The pregnancy was a prophecy concerning the coming Messiah. Uh-huh.
Traveling in birth and pain to be delivered. And uh-huh. There appeared another wonder in
listen,
heaven.
And if you read the whole of that chapter, you will see that was the fulfillment of the prophecy. Amen. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. And see, he said, thy seed, the seed of the serpent, shall bruise the heel. Shall bruise the heel of the seed of the woman. But the seed of the woman will do what? Will bruise his head. The heel of the seed of the woman is the progress of the church. That is what he said, the gates of hell. Who were those that were pursuing him? Right there. In Genesis 3, verse 15, you see there is Christ there and there is Antichrist.
Amen.
There is Christ and Antichrist. Oh, glory be to God. Praise the Lord. Listen. But before they became a nation, they have to be in bondage according to the prophecy. They were in Egypt according to that prophecy that God gave Abraham, and it was 400 years. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And then we saw it last week, how God remembered their cry and sent Moses to go and bring out his children. Bring them out to where he will serve them. The bringing out is the Exodus. And from there, the process will continue that will involve all his elect in the whole world. For in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And so, by the processes that we all know, the Gentiles also came in, and we are there now. And if he called Israel his first son, we, the Gentile church, we are his second son. But he said, the first shall be the last, and the last shall be the first. We are the last that came under that covenant. Israel was the first that came under the covenant, but we that came last in the covenant, we will go home first before them. Amen. And the process of harvesting the children from earth to glory started from that Exodus in Egypt. Praise the Lord. Nation is formed. The woman, seed of the woman is formed. And I told you, I showed you that this process, we go through five processes for the rapture. Five. Listen to the sermon I preached last week as I round up this message today. The whole thing is come out. If you say come out of Egypt and you refuse to come out, you remain there dead. The Lord himself will descend first with a shout. Hallelujah. That is the third Exodus. The first Exodus, in summary, is from Egypt. The second Exodus we have is from the law to grace by Jesus Christ. And under the grace, there are other processes. Three other Exodus. After you come out of grace, he died at Nasir, the dark ages, like Apostle Lumide was trying to bring out, and there is going to be a call out. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 mentioned the three other pools that will pull us. The final one is that third stage in 1 Thessalonians 4.
For the Lord 16. Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout.
That shout is the ministry for the living, which is what we are still on now.
With the voice of the archangel.
The archangel is the angel in Revelation chapter 10 from verses 1 to 6. That Christ, and by the time he stands up, salvation is over. And now he's going to the dead in Christ. And he goes to the dead in Christ as he did in his first coming. When he finished 3 days, he was in Hades and preached to the souls that were there in prison. And when he resurrected in Matthew 27, they resurrected with him. Hallelujah. And then the dead in Christ will rise first. It is their rising that will give us the rapturing faith.
Amen.
It is their rising that we shall know it is homegoing time. Brethren, those of us who will be alive, we will see Paul.
Hallelujah.
We will see Peter. We will see all the great generals. And if I die before he comes, you will see me. Oh, glory be to God. If I die, Apostle Paul said, I will be sleeping. I work hard now. I will work hard, so I will need to rest. I will be sleeping. Then he will come with the seven thunders and wake me and give me my body change. That will bring me back to life, but this body change is not an eternal body. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. And then we shall appear in Acts chapter 1 and verse 3. He said, they were seen 40 days.
To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days.
40 days. They were walking 40 days before they went up. They will also rise. For the Bible said the dead in Christ shall rise. For 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 again, and verse 17.
For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout.
He will descend from heaven with a shout. The ministry for the living that has been going on through these seven church ages.
With the voice of the archangel.
Then that seven thunders through the voice of the archangel, Revelation chapter 10.
And with the trump of God.
The trumpet will sound. Oh, glory be to God. That trump. After the trump, what happens?
And the dead in Christ shall rise first.
The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then, read on.
Then, we which are alive and remain.
We which are alive and remain.
Shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air.
In the air.
And so shall we ever be with the Lord.
Now, hallelujah. Now, this trump of God is the last pool, Exodus, that we will hear and we shall leave the earth. That is what 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51 and 52, he said, Behold, I show you a mystery.
Behold, I show you a mystery.
Yes.
We shall not all sleep.
We shall not all sleep.
But we shall all be changed.
We shall be changed.
In a moment.
In a moment, 52.
In the twinkling of an eye. At the
twinkle
last trump.
Of an eye. At the last trump, that is that third stage. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16.
For the trumpet shall sound.
That trumpet will sound.
And the dead shall be raised incorruptible.
The dead in Christ will rise up with new bodies.
And we shall be changed.
We. Are the we here? Let me see their hands. We shall be changed. We shall be changed. I don't know which type of sermon excites you. But the sermon that gives me hope of resurrection excites me more than anything else. That is Exodus. Now the danger, why am I taking time so much on this? On the rapture watch, I've been emphasizing it. Why are we so much talking about rapture? The message of rapture is the end time message.
That's right.
Are you hearing me?
I am, sir.
The message of rapture is the end time message. If we believe this is the end time, then there is an evening light gospel. We don't preach in the evening as we preach in the morning. It's a different type of revival. In the morning, they are preaching for you to come and become church. Come to church. Evangelism. Evening market is different from morning market. Anybody they go market here? Everybody they go market. Every organized market has closing time. Every organized market has closing time. Eh? Which market did they go? They say, Yeah, lodger. Where is she? She not come to church today. There's market women leader in this church. Eh? Sister Eukaria, where are you? Amen. They are even very, very organized. Once, maybe the time is 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock, gate will close. So you are supposed to close. If you don't close, they will give you fine. So, amen. Then Sister Nkechi goes in the morning to a shop. You want to buy market. Madam, how much is this brazier? You go carry up. How much? 1,000 naira. Ah! No. No, okay. How much? How much customer? Now you be the first customer. How much? Okay. I give you 500. Ah, customer. There's no gain in it. You are, now the talk is 8 a.m. It's 9 a.m. You are the first customer. Okay. Bring the money. 500. No. 300. Ah! Customer. Customer. It's because you are the first market. No gain there. Make it not be saying that you be the person of first place. Oh, you are bringing 300. 300. You can take 200. When they talk like that, it's because it's 9 a.m. There is still time. There is still time. So the trader there get time, they talk with you. Come there 5:30 p.m. Meet that same woman. And that brazier where I no buy, because at the end they don't go buy them. They stick, we go here, go here, go here. That's why we husbands, you don't follow your wife, go market. Eh? You don't follow your wife, go market. You demand what you are looking for, you go just buy, go. But the woman, make I see the other one. Make I see the other one. Then finally, you will come back here again. And that one, where I come that time, where you did. No, all of us are married now. Me, ask my wife now. And they follow you go market. If you ask me, go, I will say, is there a shopping mall? Is there a place where person visit down the shop while waiting for you? I will go there and sit. Once you finish doing all the things one by, at the end, what do you bring come? Now, one handkerchief, now you go look for the past 3 hours. Go 5:30. You go meet. The woman is already packing her wares. The Bible says, at evening time, there shall be light. There is the evening light gospel. How much? The woman knows there is no time to talk. She will tell you her price. Non-negotiable price. How much? 300 naira. And you say, it will collect it from you. I beg to go. Don't waste my time here. I don't tell you the price. If you will go, don't hinder me. Oh, if you will go, don't hinder me. If you will go, don't hinder me. That's why we preach the way we preach here. And it makes it look as if we are arrogant. We are not arrogant. The door of salvation will soon close. Salvation will soon be over. You are playing church. You are playing politics in the church. I have a duty to warn you. Come out. Pharaoh, let my people go. They are following Moses to go out. You refuse and you remain in Egypt. You will remain a slave forever. That is what we saw in Exodus chapter 21, verse 1. That is where the danger is. From now, verse 1 to 6.
These are the judgments which thou shalt set before them.
Listen very well.
If thou buy an Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve.
You are to keep him in bondage for how many years?
6 years.
Only 6 church ages. Okay.
And in the seventh, he shall go out free.
In the seventh year of that slavery,
he shall go out free for nothing.
There will be a jubilee. There will be a freedom that will be declared. He is to get out of that bondage. Out of that bondage, even the lawful captive shall be delivered. Go on.
If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself.
If by himself he entered that your bondage, he will live by himself. Listen very well. Denominational pastors. Some of you who have heard me, you have seen the truth and you know that that your denomination is a bondage. And you don't know how to live. Listen to the ordinance. Go on.
If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him.
If the master has given him a wife and she has borne him sons or daughters, the wife and the children that you got from that your master, when it is time for freedom, they will become your master. Whatever you achieve, they are living for them. And you will go out by yourself. Verse 5.
And if the servant shall plainly say,
no,
I love my master, my wife, and my children.
I love my wife. I love my children.
I will not go out free.
I will not go out free. Then something will happen.
Then his master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall also bring him to the door or unto the doorpost. And his master shall bore his ear through with an awl. And he shall serve him forever.
Forever. This is where the danger is. And that is the purpose of this message. The jubilee has sounded. Come out of bondage. Come out of error. Come out from those taskmasters. They are taskmasters. The denominational taskmasters. A man and his wife, daddy and mommy Joe, set up a church and send you to go and open branches for them. They even give you financial target to meet. And then you send the tithes and the offerings to them and they pay you your salary. That denominational daddy and mommy is a taskmaster. But it is there you got all that you got. You are living in their house. It is their certificate you are using to preach. And everything else that you got while there. Now your eyes have opened. You have had the jubilee. Now get out of bondage. You are considering the cost. Don't you know that you have to count the cost if you have to follow Jesus? Therefore, you say, I will remain. See the danger. You will remain according to that law forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. You will remain in bondage. And something will be done into your ears. Because it has to be done. It is ear. It's what you hear. It is a symbol of something that is ahead. 2 Timothy chapter 4 is the condition of the church now. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 to 4.
I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead that is appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine.
This is the reason.
For the time will come when
they
will not...
For the time will come, and now is that time. Yes?
When they will not endure sound doctrine.
Christians will not endure sound doctrine.
But after their own lust,
okay,
shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, uh-huh, and shall be turned unto fables.
Uh-huh. Is this not the time now? What type of gospel do Christians, those churches that are filled with people, what do they tell them? Listen very well. If there is anything spoken there, that will take them in the rapture. If there is anything there that can form the image of Christ in any believer, look very well at what is happening in some of these churches and see whether those people supposedly thinking they are serving God, you that your eyes are open now, you know that it is not God they are serving. It's the denomination there. It's that system that they are serving. You know it. You know it. All of us, we know. If you are sincere. The only problem between me and you is that when I see, I talk. Your own, you see, you don't talk. But it is because you are not a watchman. I am a watchman. I have to talk. Praise the Lord. I have to warn you because in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, reading from verse 7 up to verse 12,
For the mystery of iniquity doth already work.
Yes.
Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way.
Yes.
And then shall that wicked be revealed,
uh-huh.
whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth,
uh-huh.
and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him, whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders,
uh-huh.
and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness uh-huh. in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved.
This is the reason why.
And for
because,
this cause.
No, go back to verse 10. It is, what is the reason? It's because.
Because they received not the love of the truth.
They received not the love of the truth.
That they might be saved.
That they might be saved.
And for this cause.
Which cause? Because they have no love for truth, that they might be saved. For this cause.
God shall send them strong delusion.
Who will send it?
God.
Who will send it?
God.
You see where I am warning you? Who will send that delusion?
God.
It is God that will send that delusion. Uh-huh.
That they should believe a lie.
God will do something in such a believer that will cause that person to believe a lie. They are speaking lie, but you are saying hallelujah, praise the God, praise the Lord. So that what will happen?
That they all might be damned.
They may all be damned.
Who believe not the truth,
but
add pleasure in unrighteousness.
See, you will not understand this thing. See, I've said it before. The three pools that we see in the growth of a plant. The day this thing was quickened to me, fear came upon me. And I say this, it's a personal testimony of my spiritual life and my walk with God. There are things that you know that fashion your faith. There are things you know that your wife may not know, your husband may not know, your pastor may not know, and so cannot understand why you serve God in the way, that unique way you serve him. Have you considered this? You plant a seed. When you plant a seed, when it dies, we know it. That is the parable in Mark chapter 4 from verse 26. Listen. When it is time, the first thing that comes out is a blade that comes out. Now, it is always green. Evidence that there is life is that the plant will be green. Now, I know they go farm. Make I go brother's side. And then when I know they answer me, and I know go village, then born now for Lagos. I bet any local man here, the plant will be green. Okay, now understand how they talk. That is evidence that there is life. That is evidence there is life. Now listen. That green, it is a life that is moving. It will move to the next stage. It will keep moving until the fruit, the seed that was planted form again and the rapture takes place. Now listen, when it moved from blade to the ear, as that parable says, when life moves to the next stage, where it was before, the color will change. What is the color? It will turn brown, yellowish brown. The change of color is the evidence that there is no more life there. Life has moved. There is an exodus that is moving with the life. If you refuse to move to the next stage, what will happen? You will die. The man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall abide in the congregation of the dead. It moves, you refuse to move. It will move, it will, each time it moves, where it is, it will be green. You refuse to move, it will become brown. The more it is going up, where it was at first, where it started, where it left, it gets drier and drier. So that you will understand why Baptists, Anglican, and all these early churches, that the early revival that produced them, when they were moving to Pentecostalism, they refuse to move. What are they? They become dead. No more life, church. No life. And you remain in that church, you are dead. That is the danger. That is why I'm talking about Exodus. I'm bringing out something deep for the bride of Christ worldwide. At the end, what will happen? After the seed is formed, what was planted that died at Nasia, as our teacher was telling us this morning, when it is formed again, by the time it is forming, all the pathway that it traveled through, they all change the color, they all dry. After the sickle is put, the harvest is taken, the owner of the farm, what will he come and do? Oh Jesus, what will he come and do? He will come and gather all of them. What will he put there? Fire. Fire. Listen, our time is up, but let me just summarize it this way. Please catch it. Go to my messages. I've said it one way or the other in several places. Listen. In the wilderness journey, in Exodus chapter 13, the Bible says that God led them by a cloud in the daytime and what? Pillar of fire in the night. Now, it was for movement. Where they are going, even Moses does not know. Joshua does not know. God is the one that is taking them there, but he promised them that it's a land flowing with milk and honey. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now listen. So to lead them is signified by his angel that appeared in the daytime as a cloud and the night as a pillar of fire. If the movement is to go by day, the cloud will direct them. Anywhere the cloud moves, they will move. And when he will move, he will not tell them. Your own is, you see it move. That song says, the move is on. My Lord, the move is on. He says, the move is on. My Lord, the move is on. He says, I can hear the rustling of the mulberry tree. And I know the move is on. And he says, move on, brother, move on, sister. He says, this is the moving. Move a little closer, where the streams are flowing. I said, move on, brother. I pity the followers, some of the followers of the ministry of William Branham, who will not accept revelation from anywhere else after 1965 sermons preached by William Branham. They will watch the cloud in the wilderness. When he move, they will move. When he stop, they will stop. When they move, they will move. And because they know they can move at any time, there is no need to pitch your tent too deep. So that when it starts to move, you pack and go. Oh, glory be to God. Therefore, if they are going to move and not be forgotten behind, where will their focus be? Wherever you are, your eyes are on that cloud. Your eyes are on that pillar of fire. Yes, you will sleep and forget, there will be a trumpet. There will be watchmen that are stationed. All they have to do is to keep watching. Keep watching. Keep watching. When you are tired, another person will take over. That is the fivefold ministry. Woo. to keep watching, to tell you, look up, your redemption is near. Then we blow the trumpet of the gospel, and wherever you are, you will run. It's home, home going time. It's home, home going time. My brother, my sister, are you ready to go? It's home, home going time. Listen, church. Listen. You see how dangerous it is. When you say watch and pray, what will you be watching? What will you be watching? This is the way he put it. In Matthew 24, he said, if they say, hey, is there here? It's in the desert. It's in Ibadan Expressway. It's in Kotu. You know the Kotu again. It's in where? It's in Ijesha. Hey, he said, believe not. Don't even go there. Concerning the coming of the Lord, he said, he will come as a light, lightning from the east to the west. Jesus.
For as the lightning,
thank you, read on,
cometh out of the east,
uh-huh,
and shineth even unto the west,
uh-huh,
so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Verse 28, for wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered.
Two things
together.
You must catch here. We are revelated people. Two things. That's why, how can I know these things? And then, if they drive me, come up from Brother Assembly, or I drive myself, come up from Brother Assembly, then I will go to any of these denominations. To eat what? It is evidence you are not an eagle, you are a chicken. Why did he say this? It's written there. He said, the light, lighting from the west
to the east,
that is the sun. The sun rises from the east. It's talking about the gospel. It moved throughout the seven church ages. It moved from the east and kept moving from Jerusalem like that. It came to Europe. It came like that. Mighty revival, mighty revival. As more and more revelations were coming in the divine agenda, more and more, until in this seven church age, the last revival takes place through William Seymour. I did not say William Branham. We have corrected that already. It is William Seymour in 1906 in Azusa Street in America. Hallelujah. And I'm going to show you something there. Amen. Before we close, please, can you give me another 10 minutes? Please, bear with me. Visitors that came for the dedication of our brothers and children, this is what you may gain for visiting us here today. And from there you begin to search for the truth, so that you will know the difference between religion and revelation. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Your spiritual life is not determined by the number of days you have the ability to fast. Your spiritual life is not determined by how many hours you can pray. And your spiritual life is not determined by how you appear in your dressing. Cover your hair, cover everywhere. How your leg look like, you don't even know. Then you say you are spiritual. It's part of it, but it's deeper than that. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And then he said, where the carcass is, there the eagles will gather. The carcass is the fresh revelation of the word of God. Hallelujah. When it lives and moves up, that green that you see form up there is the revival. Wherever that light strikes, the elect of God, we gather around it. When it is moving, then we move with it. Hallelujah. Then we try to pull you down. That's why they hate Brother Moses, the followers of the ministry of William Branham. They hate me because I refuse to stay. Hallelujah. Moses, the Moses that said in Kadesh Barnea, he said, you have encamped round about this mountain long enough. He said, move. Where did he say you should go?
Not.
Where is it you should go?
Not.
Where did he say you should go?
Turn not.
Not what? Where the revelation is now is from the north. Praise the Lord. But if you are going to point arrow of deliverance, where did the prophet say you should point it? Towards where?
East.
Towards the east. Hallelujah. That's why, Timothy, have you ever gone to the north for family deliverance? Okudile, have you ever gone to the north? Eh? Sonny, you know every village in the east. So go there and deliver God's children from those shrines. Our own. Amen. Praise the Lord. Our own. Now only one spirit we get there. Now Islam. Now Islam, now with the face for there. So, it's a revelation. So God, he gave us satellites so that his children there in the north, they will watch it and they will come out. There's revival going on in the north. I'm telling you, what is disturbing them there is religion. Religion! Religion. And where the life is, where the life is, where the fresh carcass manna revelation is, that is where the bride, the elect, will gather. Oh, glory be to God. The reason we are members of Bread Assembly Church is not because of miracles, signs, and wonders. Our attraction here is the fresh carcass. It's the fresh word of God. Hallelujah. Fresh manna. Fresh manna from above. You miss it, you are finished. You are gone forever. Matthew 16, verse 1, 2. Listen.
The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven.
Yes.
He answered and said unto them, when it is evening, ye say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering.
Yes.
O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times?
Hey. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Sign. God knows that human beings will never listen until there is a sign. And God himself will give the sign. He asked in another scripture, he said, a wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after signs. The type of sign the wicked and adulterous generation is looking for is the type of signs and wonders that are taking place in some of these magician turned prophet churches. That's where they attract crowd going there. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, now there is a sign. There is a sign that he said you will give. God works with sign. Particularly when it comes to Moses in the first Exodus, there were signs that he gave them. There were signs. He said, if they will not believe the voice of the first sign, they will believe the voice of the second sign. And I preached a message that I titled The Voice of the Sign. The sign is to bring you to come and hear the voice, the message. Praise the Lord. And Jesus himself came. When John said, are you the one we're expecting, or another one is coming? Because he was confused. He showed him the signs. The signs. Search the scripture. In them you think you have life, for they are there that testify of me. The things the scripture say I will do, the blind are seeing, the cripples are walking, and all the miracles are taking place. It's a sign that the Messiah, the expected Messiah, was around. And why am I talking about the sign? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Because there is something God uses to attract people who seek him. That is the sign. These prophecies, discernment, all these revelations, word of knowledge that our brothers and sisters come out to give us here is to confirm God's presence here. So that you will come and say, if he is here, what is he doing here? And everything God is doing now, has to do with the rapture. Has to do with the rapture. When we talk about sign, William Branham said that the people always know what God did yesterday, and the people always know what God will do tomorrow. But what God will do now, what God is doing now, they are not able to see. That's why they couldn't see Jesus. They were still talking Moses, Moses, Moses. They were talking about the Messiah that will come. Church, listen. I want you to take what is happening in this ministry very seriously. There is a sign that God has given the true elect of God that should give you reason to take what we are doing in this ministry seriously. And let me give you one of the signs. I believe it. God pull from the earth to harvest time of the seed is three pulls. The blade, the ear, and the full corn in the ear. For our salvation, three offices: Father, Son, Holy Ghost. For the complete work and to be sealed, you have justification, three works of grace: sanctification and baptism of the Holy Ghost. When Abraham was to die, he had two sets of children. One set was from the concubines. Genesis 25 says, he called him as he was about to die. He gave the children of the concubines, he gave them gifts. But when he came to the child of promise, Isaac.
And Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac.
He gave all that he had to Isaac, but...
But unto the sons of the concubines, which Abraham had, Abraham gave gifts and sent them away from Isaac his son.
He separated them. He gave all to Isaac. But to the children of the concubine, taken care of by the Shah as God's ministers. You know what I'm talking about, Bride of Jesus Christ. I expected a response to my right here. Listen, he gave only gift, but to Isaac, he gave all. That means there were other things that were given to Isaac. Although they are his children, but they are from the concubines, he gave them only gifts. There were some things that Isaac knew that those children of a concubine never knew. And it is to fulfill election. To fulfill his program. And what did he do? The evidence is that by the time we get to chapter 26, can we read it? Chapter 26, Genesis. Hallelujah. Please, let's catch it and let me close this message once and for all.
Genesis 26, 15.
Yes.
For all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. And Abimelech said unto Isaac, go from us, for thou art much mightier than we.
All the wells that Abraham dug at his time, where they were drinking water from, the Philistines closed it. Can you see a type of the church? After our apostolic fathers died, all the revelation they had were replaced with man-made doctrines. They filled them with earthly doctrines, earthbound doctrines. Read on.
Verse 18. And Isaac digged again the wells of water, which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father.
He dug back. He did not dig another well. Take note of this, church, children of promise.
For the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham, and he called their names after the names by which his father had called them.
Go on.
And Isaac's servant digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. And the headmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's headmen, saying, the water is ours. And they called the name of the well.
When Hesed. They dug the first one, what happened?
They strove.
It was full and near Hesman.
And they called the name
the
of the well.
It's the same spirit. It's the same spirit. The same spirit that is on the Antichrist. The same spirit that is a full and near husband. Go on.
And they called the name of the well Isaac, because they strove with him. And they digged another well and strove for that also, And he called the name of it Sitna.
Uh-huh.
And he removed from thence and digged another well.
Uh-huh.
And for that they strove
not. That is the third well that they dug. After they dug the third one, what happened?
For that they strove not.
No and more fighting after they dug the first one.
The third one.
I mean the third one. Yes.
And he called the name of it Rehoboth.
Rehoboth. Everybody shout Rehoboth. Shout Rehoboth.
Rehoboth.
Shout Rehoboth.
Rehoboth. And he said, for now the Lord has made room for us and we shall be fruitful in the land.
Now, you are talking of sign. Is this coincidence? I mentioned this the day this auditorium was being dedicated. That this church began in 1998. In 2005, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Watch it. Let me begin. Where we first started, they fought us there. The neighbors fought us. But boy, you were there with us. We had to move to a street called Antonio Bay Street. We grew there. They started fighting us again. All the neighbors were fighting us. That is the second well. From there, we moved to Jesha here. But it shall be Rehoboth. When we move here, our neighbors started fighting us. But unfortunately, it is our Rehoboth. Now, I have not finished. Our first area where the wells were being dug was in Mafoluku. 1998 to December 2005. But it was 2005 that we moved to this place. 7 years after the church started, we moved to Ijesha here. 7 years. From 2005, December, we moved here December 2005. From December 2005, we have the second 7 years to 2012. December 2012, the church was demolished. 7 years after we moved in here, the church was demolished. From December 2012, we began to build. And it took us again 7 years to 2019 that the auditorium was built and dedicated. 777. You are looking for a sign that this ministry belongs to God in God's agenda. This is one of the signs we should see. 3 is God's number for completion. 3. We see this properly line up. That is why, be careful what you do in this ministry. You fight this ministry, you are fighting an agenda of God. God will remove them. There are some people that leave this church, it's God that swept them away, irrespective of the reason they left. If not, He will bring them back. Some of them are coming back. Praise the Lord. Finally, listen. Hallelujah. Listen very well. Noah had 3 sons. Shem, Japheth, and Ham. I said, listen very well. The gospel started with the Shemites. Those in the Middle East, Israel. Everybody knows that. Japheth is the Western world. The Europeans. It moved from Shem. The missionary period, it was all Europeans. It moved to Japheth. Then the light moved to the west in America, where the sun is going to set. Now, take note that it was a black man. This thing is excites me. When they came to collect slaves from Arochukwu, they did not know that they were taking a Joseph to go and fulfill a prophecy, a program. Hallelujah. When it will land in the west, where the gospel will end, it landed in the hand of a black man. And the Bible says Africa is the tabernacle of Ham. The blacks are from the lineage of Ham. Now watch it. Whose hand did he fall upon? He fell upon a black man by the name of William Simon. William is seven letters. Simon is seven letters. If you cannot catch this, then you cannot catch anything else. May he open our eyes. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now it is the ministry of perfection. There is a revival that is going on. Remember, it will be in the hand of Ham that the evening light will be concluded.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Don't look at any white man anywhere for any revival. You don't know. Let's look at the map of Africa. A sign. Can you see the map of Africa if they can show us? Can you see where Nigeria is? Can you see where Nigeria is? Now, the map of Africa is actually a gun. Now, let's see it. Can you see where Nigeria is? It's where the trigger is. Can you see where Nigeria is in the map of Africa? Where you have the trigger, where you press. Wah! That is why you are looking up to America. You are looking up to Europe. When there is a sign here already. When there is a sign here already. I believe with the whole of my heart that God is going to use this ministry that you are watching now. How it will happen, we don't know. But we have seen the signs. We have seen the signs. Are you not happy you are part of this revival? Oh, glory be to God. He said, when you begin to see all these signs come to pass, he said, look up. Your redemption is near. Can we stand up? When you begin to see these signs, then know that your redemption is near. Stop playing religion. I belong to here. I belong to here. Do you belong to Jesus? Hymn number 30 should be our prayer. I'm praising on the upward. Everybody, let's sing it.
New heights ahead in every day.
Everybody,
still praying as I onward. Oh Lord, plant my feet on high.
Lord, lift me on.
Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table.
higher.
I want to scale the almost high and catch a
saying, somebody will understand the uniqueness of this ministry, and in particular my own ministry, so you will know who this man is. I'm not a mumu. There's something God has showed me that's making me to tread carefully with him. He's no respecter of persons. He used Moses and Moses didn't make it. I told him, Lord, I want to make it. Don't use it. Don't use me and dump me. Even my own relations, members of my own family, do you see any of them in this church? One of them just visited us today. I don't go call your name, don't worry. The reason they cannot come here, all their complaint, we are the largest family in my town. It is because, how can you not wear earring? How do they go wear trouser? How do they go dress like this? How they look at them? Go ahead. Those who are Muslims in my family, Achia, you are watching me now. Say mama, say papa with me. Achia, anytime you see me, you'll be telling me we are worshiping the same God. Very soon, you will know the difference between Ishmael and Isaac. And the same papa, Abraham is the same papa, but there's a difference between Ishmael and Isaac. Listen, church. Enter message churches. The first thing they do in the ministry, pastors, is to build their house. They will tax the members. After collecting all your tithe to his personal account, task them again to build their house. But this man here, for the past 8 years, we started Bright Television. We have spent over 600 million naira for evangelism alone. On this one, on television alone. And this man is still living in a rented house. Don't be crazy with that. It's not crazy. This world is not my home. Just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. We build, but I never get the money to build yet. Did I have the money to build? I will build now, but I cannot take the money for the gospel and go and build my house. No, that is abomination. In government, they say it's misappropriation of funds and it is a jailable offense. Listen, that's why I went to jail. I was jailed because in my office there was misappropriation of funds. Money meant for this, you use it without authority for another. It landed me in jail. Do you think I would like to go to God's jail again? Suffer for the hand of man. I don't learn my lesson. Suffer for the hand of God again. I will never go to hell for misappropriation. of God's property that he gave to my care. But I will build my house. But I will not use evangelism money to build my house. And the time is going to come. One day you will all come to my house when I finish it. I will build one, certainly. But I just want you to know the seriousness of the business that we are into now. I'll keep playing. People will come here and they want to use it as a market. Yeah, we catch you, charge anybody money before praying for the person. It's an unpardonable offense. Kick you out of this place without pity. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The last sign that everybody should look at is Israel. Israel has become a nation according to the prophecy. What are they waiting for? They are waiting for the coming of their own revival. Their revival will come when we go home. After the rapture, Israel will see and know Jesus. That they are now a nation is a sign. War everywhere in the Middle East, but only Israel is getting stronger and stronger. Nations are breaking. Israel awake. Sound the prophet foretold. The Gentiles discover with horrors a God. Eternity soon will come. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. The day of redemption. Where your heart is, where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Let's be more heavenly minded. Pursue whatever you want to do here with your hands, but let your eyes focus up. Let your mind know that very soon all this wahala will end. The rapture will soon take place. You will not be left behind in the name of Jesus. I will not be left behind in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Everybody is going to be anointed. Do you know what? God does not joke with his bride. He will not allow any nonsense to come upon us. There is a flu that is coming and the Lord has revealed it. Before coronavirus came, we didn't know anything about coronavirus. He told us that it is coming and it will sweep through the whole world. But he said he will keep his own. And up to this moment, no member of this ministry has died of coronavirus. Use your hand and praise him. You are going to be anointed. Amen. And when they anoint you, don't sit down, please. Be praising God, be worshiping God. Amen.